This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet. He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Oh, what a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
A lot of winning in store over the weekend as we join you on this episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast. Is Tom, I am still in my ham hangover from the weekend.
Not just ham, but as we learned last week, ham with extras like Werner's, whatever your lovely wife is pouring all over the ham before she bakes it.
I'm going to bring you a piece over because it was top notch.
She texted me and said, would you like to come over for Easter? And I just said, no. I've heard what you're doing and I have no interest in it, but I'm sure I'll try it at some point. I'll try a lot of things. So I'll try it.
You got to start somewhere. You got to try.
Yeah.
Speaking of starting somewhere, we are down to the final four on the men's basketball side. Women will find out today who the tickets will be punched to Cleveland. On the men's side, again, it's a buzzsaw between the UConn Huskies that no one can be touched and the darlings of America, the America's new team in North Carolina State. And then the teams that we also like along the way. Nate Oates, 11 years removed from being a high school teacher in Metro Detroit, now leading Alabama. And then Purdue Boilermakers, which Zach Edey is going to block out the sun next week for the big solar eclipse.
I think all four teams have in common a big center that they can play the offense through. In my bracket, I had picked Purdue to win it all. The more I watch UConn, I just can't see. UConn will have to beat themselves. They just feel like they're too good for someone to beat them. They're just annihilating everybody. So I don't see how they get the
run.
Is that a big run, 30 to nothing? Some of that was bad shot selection on, was it Tennessee? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was Tennessee's part. They just couldn't get it to fall. Now, the interesting thing, and I was talking with someone today about this at the gym, is now you move to a football stadium, and that always seems to play with the shooting a little bit as you adjust to that depth, the background. It's very possible that if UConn gets derailed, it's because of the venue, not the opponent. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. Because again, they're shooting in a place that they're not accustomed to. Your sight lines are so different. And I know it's all about putting as many people as you can there, but that I've never taken a shot in a football stadium like that, like they have, but I can't imagine that keeps your concentration real at ease.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But UConn looks pretty unbeatable. And then on the women's side, you got to – this may be the biggest – this may be the biggest women's game ever.
Yeah, it is.
Clark against LSU.
Kim Mulkey and everything that's going on that side, Caitlin Clark. I mean, they should have lost to West Virginia in the second round.
Yeah. I think it's just a good, it's just going to be fascinating. I haven't watched a ton of the women's side. My mom's been, she goes, I think the games on the women's side have been better than the men's side. And I can see that. It's been very competitive. And I'm just interested to see Caitlin Clark in Iowa against LSU. Just has this swagger and this, I mean, and Mulkey, you mentioned, I think you would look good in some of those jackets.
Maybe I'll ask her next week when I see her at, if they make it there into Cleveland, if I can try one on. I mean, I don't know where she finds them, but they're something.
Nice drop there. You're going to Cleveland. Are you scoring the women's Final Four? Are you statting that?
I am. I will be courtside in Cleveland at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse all weekend long. So as you're watching on ESPN and ABC television on Sunday afternoon, I'll give you a little motion, maybe a hand gesture.
They will have to set up some sort of signal. So Mac football championships, you stat it. Mac basketball tournament, men's and women's, you stat it. Women's Final Four, you stat it. Anything that major that happens in the Midwest. Were you at the combine? Were you writing down numbers for players?
I should have been. Maybe, again, you and I and Brian Dooley are working a little draft magic, so maybe there's a chance there too.
Brian Dooley was out of football practice and was mentioning the draft because obviously Brian Dooley is eligible for the draft and he's gone through his pro day and he wants me and you to escort him down there because he's nervous about radio interviews. I go, you have all the answers. There's nothing to be nervous about. They're not going to ask you things you don't know.
And he's the nicest guy who would give the shirt off his back too.
Greatest guy. It's funny because his hair is a little shorter than it was during the season. He had on a baseball cap and sunglasses out at practice the other day. And I was standing next to James and the football team. I go, is that Dooley? Then he turned around and he had a jacket with his name across the back of it that said, I go, that's Dooley. Yeah. He's wearing his own name out of practice. His own brand.
We will hear from Brian Dooley next week on the show as we've got a lot of things to touch on this week. One more note on the women's side before we fully transition out of that though, Tom. If you're the NCAA and the PR crisis that they have right now, how do you not recognize that the three-point line was that different on one side of the court to the other?
You can't set up a court that blew my mind, and then they just agreed to play with it. But you could just tell visually. I saw them out with the measuring tape that the three-point line was closer at one end of the court the other. But how does that happen? I mean, you ordered the floor or had it painted up and everything, and no one noticed that it wasn't the same distance on both ends of the floor.
And didn't they had to play a game there the other day? They had the Sweet 16 games, right? How did you not catch it then?
I don't know. I don't know how that gets by so many people because it seems like there would be quite a process for that floor getting laid down. And there's nothing, you can't retape it.
No, right, because it's stained. Well, I guess
everybody had an advantage. You were a little closer in one of the halves than you were the other half.
Speaking of women's basketball, the white smoke has risen from the George Gervin game above smokestacks, much like they do in Vatican City. Scott Weatherby released that envelope on Thursday. Sahara Nusebe, the new head basketball coach, she'll have her introductory press conference tomorrow morning. We'll have that on emueagles.com, and then we'll have a little sit-down chat with her on next week's show as well. But she comes in from Canisius, and we'll get to hear from her. But I know she wants to run an offense that is going to be fast-paced. They're going to do a lot of different things. But having seen what they do in the Mid-American Conference, do you think that that gives her a little bit of advantage, having been around a Bowling Green program that won a lot and then also seeing what other teams in the MAC have already done?
Yeah, if you got fast-paced and could score, you got to, you know, it always helps when you have a big like Toledo did that could do some damage in the paint or a couple of bigs. She comes in hopefully with some players in mind. And I had talked to Weatherby a couple of weeks ago, and anybody he was interviewing, he's like, everybody's got kind of got this list of people that they think they can bring with them or that will transfer in as she sets up her team. So it'll be interesting. There's nowhere for the program to go but up. It was a rough year for women's basketball. It's been a rough couple of years for women's basketball. So it's exciting to see the page turn a new future. I like Keisha Blanton very much. I'm sure she will land on her feet. She did the best she could with what Fred Castro left behind. And hopefully she'll land on her feet with her own program here in the next couple of weeks. But as for Eastern Michigan's new hire, Sahara, I'm excited to see what she brings to the table. And can she turn this team into a winner? I know the expectations for EMU on both the men's and women's side is be up in the top four. It should be a regular to go to Cleveland. It should be a regular to be in the hunt for a MAC title. And where both programs have been over the last few years is unacceptable. So it's good to see some change. And hopefully this is a positive push forward for Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, we nothing but the best of that staff that's departing and the players that move on, because we know it's so much that is a transition and change in their lives, and it's not easy for anybody to be uprooted like that. But we also know the portal. That's this day and age. We already saw today Tyson Acuff decide where he was going. He'll be headed to the East Coast. So that's just the game and how it happens today in this era of basketball.
Can we say where he went yet, or is that not announced?
I don't know that that school has officially announced it, but
okay. I'll be curious. He had a lot of suitors. I mean, when you're top 10 in the nation in scoring, you led the MAC. He's a tremendous guard. Stan Heath knew that he'd be going. It's the, you know, big schools can write big checks with the NIL and with the transfer portal. You knew it was coming. So I wish Acuff the best. He played some great basketball for Eastern Michigan. It's a shame that he won't be there next season, but I'll certainly be keeping an eye on him as next season rolls along.
Speaking of this season already, some preparations in store as the Eagles get set to try to win the Washtenaw County Championship tomorrow afternoon as they take on Michigan in the less than desirable weather conditions on Saturday. Eastern able to walk off Central Michigan as the Chippewas imploded twice over the weekend for a pair of wins that I was lucky to call a walk-off. One was a much better call than the other because, as you always say, make sure to say the names, and I conveniently forgot to include the names in my final call.
I heard both calls. Both calls were very good, so I wouldn't beat yourself. You know, it always feels worse when you Monday morning quarterback your own calls. But everybody could see the vital information was there. The runs came across. Video of the walk-off. So it was a great win for Eastern Michigan. And they've been humming along. They're doing a great job out there in baseball.
Robbie Britt, first time Eastern has taken series from both Central and Western to win the State of Michigan Championship since 2012. So a long time coming. We'll have an in-depth conversation with him just on what's going so well in year one and just kind of how he's developed it. And then you and I get to kind of, on the other side, tag team one of the newest football assistant coaches in a guy that is as cool a cat as you'll come across.
I will never be as cool as Grant Hurd. And Grant Hurd is the coolest. But, you know, as I played wide receiver through college, and I had a number of wide receiver coaches. I had three different wide receiver coaches in the 4 years that I played. And watching Hurd work with those wide receivers, he's done a phenomenal job the way he coaches. And I enjoy just kind of standing over by that group during practice and watching him work and what he's teaching. And he puts those guys through a lot. It's almost like a boot camp right now in spring football. I'm sure there's some guys that are thinking, I don't know if I'm cut out for this, but that you can weed out some of the guys who aren't sure they have the mettle to play for Grant Hurd. But he's been doing a phenomenal job. And I think it's a very talented quarterback room at Eastern Michigan. Certainly, I think the most talented room since I arrived on campus in 2019, because you have so much depth. Such great competition, so many guys that can throw the football, and you got to have targets out there. They're going to be spreading that football around. So he's fun to talk to. He played college ball at Ole Miss. He just kind of plays it off like he played the 1930s and all they did was run the football. So setting wide receiving records was not a big deal. But as you and I know, playing in the SEC, it's a big deal. And he was a big time receiver for Ole Miss.
Well, and even you look at his collegiate pedigree. I mean, Indiana, he's been most recently at UCF, and to choose Eastern Michigan also says something for what he thinks of Chris Creighton and his similarity to Tom Allen, who's now the defensive coordinator at Penn State.
Yeah, it's a good staff. And it's I get more and more excited about this football team the more I watch them play. Defense seems a little ahead of offense right now, but that is always the case, I think, in the spring, because defense, see ball, get ball. And the offense has been working with the radios a little bit. That'll be a new thing in college football this season. So you see the quarterbacks now kind of have that system taped to their ear hole. Not taped. I don't know how it's attached, but they have the radio up to the ear there because I don't think they've installed them in the helmets yet. But it's just working, like, how are they going to call the offense and getting all those systems in place has been interesting to watch.
Also, news on Friday of it, you and I knew it was going to be the last practice in the factory as we know it. When I sent the release out, there were, of course, a lot of people around the country who thought, oh, no, they're getting rid of the gray. It's dead. Or some people were like, thank God it's finally gone, only to realize it's just a new gray that's coming in. What was your favorite memory of that? I think I know what it is, but I want you to tell me what it is.
Central Connecticut State. Do you think
Absolutely.
That was?
Absolutely. I figured that's the well, outside of that and your big wins at Illinois and then Arizona State, but those weren't home wins.
Those weren't home wins. Yeah, Central Connecticut State was, there was a lot to it too. First of all, it's the first home game I ever called at Eastern Michigan. Upon arriving at the stadium, the second I stepped into the elevator with my daughter, the power went out. So we were trapped in the elevator for a little bit. So I almost never take the elevator at the stadium anymore. I use the stairs because I'm just worried it's going to happen again. So then the power goes out during the game. The game started back up, but the radio and the TV were having trouble getting back online. I had to call the radio station like I was calling in to request hits, and they patched it back through on the air that way. So I called the end of that game on my phone, probably the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. And then Matthew Sexton blocks the punt, returns it for a touchdown, and Eastern Michigan wins the game. And it was so surreal and just such a, the wheels were falling off the car as we got to the finish line, but they got the win.
How you didn't quit on me on that first day, I'm not exactly sure. And add the aspect of, we found and recovered that call, even though all of us thought it was lost forever. And it's one of your best calls.
I went to dinner that night and I was sitting with my wife, and CBS Sports had reached out to me through Twitter. Can you get us that call? And I don't think anyone's ever going to hear that call. I think it's gone forever. And then somehow you guys got it through the rate. I don't even know it was how you guys did it, but you were able to recover that call. So
John Patalka pulled it out of some backwoods bandwagon air conditioning unit that he's got somewhere up on the hill.
Yeah, it's a miracle that call exists. But also Joe Sparacio's hit against UMass that brought that UMass drive to a grinding halt 2 years ago.
Yep.
That was a huge play. So there's been a lot of great plays there. Even Getzinger in the back of the end zone this year for the victory caught one. Did we go to overtime in that one?
Getzinger. Double OT.
Double OT. Got his feet down in the back of the end zone on that one. So it's going to be interesting aesthetically how it's all going to look. There's going to be so much green turf surrounding the gray. I also realized at that practice last Friday that track is almost impossible to destroy. Yes. As players went at it with pickaxes, and you wouldn't even know that they tried to pickaxe out part of the track.
Much like you and I on a podcast, that track will never go away. Couple more weeks of the Eastern Insider. Tom and I will back at you next week, but enjoy the show today. We catch up with Robbie Britt and Grant Hurt coming up after this quick timeout. It's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider podcast presented by the Folding Warehouse.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here. Bowling Warehouse. And sports will never be the same. Bowling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Foling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Foling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the mitten.
Joining us now on the Eastern Insider Podcast, Grant Hurd, wide receiver phenom out of Ole Miss back in the day, right?
Way back in the day. Yep.
You walked out of that school with a couple records.
I did, but that was right after they got done playing the wishbone offense, so it wasn't much.
You did some good blocking.
No, I wasn't good at that. No, I wouldn't have recruited me now, I promise you.
I'll tell you this. I have enjoyed watching you work, and work is a word you like to use. You don't say hike. You don't say go. When you're working with the wideouts, you start it with work. Why?
Because everything we do, we should be working. And just like anything else, like, it's got to be something ingrained in their mind. So we don't go on a snap count anyway. So let's get used to working. So I want that in their mind every time we take a rep, a drill, or whatever it may be. We got to be working.
Back in the day, it was always the running backs that everybody looked at. Now it's moved more to wide receiver. What is it that you really look for when you're recruiting a wide receiver?
Big thing is his ball skills. I don't like body catchers. And the next big thing is, can he drop his hips and get in and out of a cut? You know, because can a wideout get separation? That's the biggest thing. You know, if you run straight ahead 4-2, but you have a break and you're 4-6, you're really not 4-2 anymore. And, you know, you take a kid like Tyreek Hill, who is one of the fastest in the NFL, he just ain't outrunning anybody. So it's a game of how can I get my separation and get in and out of cuts and my ball skills, because there's going to be a lot more contested catches than there are just wide open catches. So that's what I look for in a wideout that I think can have a chance to help us.
You got a great coaching resume. What drew you to Ypsilanti?
Coach Creighton and, you know, Pike worked with me at Indiana, just knowing him and just, you know, Coach Creighton's good friends with Tom Allen, who was the head coach at Indiana. Him and just the atmosphere and, you know, he is just such an unbelievable person. He really is. When he says he cares about these kids and football is not the most important thing to him, he means it.
What do you see as similarities between Chris and Tom? Because I know they're drastically different. One yells a little bit more than the other.
Similar. They have a knack of being able to coach hard without demeaning kids and get the most out of kids. And they both can get kids to believe that they might be better than what they are. And to get kids just to play hard and passionately, just like they are. So the team kind of takes on their personalities, and they have similar personalities that, you know, is infectious, and it's hard to not be excited to come to work with them every day.
Not every receiver coach has been a wide receiver. How big of an advantage for you to know what these guys need to do and what they need to go through to be successful?
First of all, I think I know how they think, because we're all egomaniacs out there. Like, we all think we need the ball 100 times a game, and which is good. And I know that we usually don't have the highest GPA in the building, so I got to try to make it simple. I'm an old country boy. I got to keep it – try to make it simple so they can play fast, because if they're thinking, they're not playing fast. I just want them to play and not think and just go execute the play. And so I know how I thought, you know – when I played, if it was difficult, it was hard to execute, and I thought I was fairly smart. But if I can keep it simple and just have them go play and not think, that's the way I'd love it to be.
When you want physicality in some ways, when they're going up against that DB or safety, what is it that you are teaching them to have the advantage in that category when you're going up for a ball?
Real simple. If the ball's in the air and it's thrown to you, go get it. I don't care. I tell them they get a free pass for offensive pass interference. They hardly call it anyway. Yeah. So let's put them in a position to call it. If they call it, that's on me. But ball's in the air, by any means necessary, go get your hands on that ball. And, you know, you just got to keep drilling it. You know, our DBs do a good job, especially with the tight coverages they play, to make us have to go get the ball. And they're not doing it enough now, but over time – Hopefully by the time we get to the fall, we are going and getting our hands on more of those balls.
It's helpful too. Really good quarterback group this year, which is really beneficial as far as getting the rock to these guys, isn't it?
It is. You know, no matter how good my guys are, if you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter. Like, that's, you know, you hear it all the time. That's the most important position in football, which it is. You can have great wideouts, but if you don't have anybody to give them the ball, they ain't that great anymore. So it's good to have a competition at that spot. And, you know, they're all fairly new, I think. Most of them, I'm still trying to figure out ages of all of them. I think you see a new guy in there, and Pike. I know Pike. Pike's a sharp dude, so he's gonna pick the best one. But really, to be honest with you, I don't care who's that quarterback. Ball thrown to you, that's all we care about. Like, don't give me. Our job is to make whoever's slinging it right. That's our job.
Final question: are the powder blues the best helmets at Ole Miss?
No. Absolutely not.
You like the dark blue?
Yeah, we didn't have power blue. But they make us look soft.
That is soft.
That makes it look kind of soft.
I don't know. It's kind of pretty, though.
Soft. Okay. I'm an old school guy. Like, just keep the navies on and let's go. Every once in a while, you can throw a white one in there.
Grant Hurd, appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us, as well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Foaling Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Series victory and a flair for dramatics. Nothing like waiting until the ninth inning to flip on the offense, but the Eagles do so on Saturday to pick up the series win against Central. What is it about ninth inning in this homestand against Central that your team finds ways to get it done?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for you there. I think, you know, I'm proud of the way that we fought. I'm not very happy with how we played for basically eight innings today. And I just thought we weren't very good all the way around. We did some nice things. We pitched it well, played halfway decent defense. But, you know, just our energy, like, you would have thought we had already sort of taken care of business, or I'm not exactly sure what it was. But, you know, again, part of that is we're learning how to win different ways, which is good. And you'd rather learn while you win than learn while you lose. But for us to continue to be consistent and to be the team and the program that we want to be, you know, you can't have days like this too often. You got to be able to, you know, fight back, compete, whatever you want to say. But we should have been a little bit more engaged from the jump today. So I'm disappointed with that, but obviously happy we got a good result.
When you see a couple different times that you're running and you run yourselves out of an inning, how much does that deflate innings that have the possibility to grow into so much more?
Yeah, especially when you're not swinging well, you know, it just magnifies everything that you do. And, you know, we're going to be aggressive. You know, we need to continue to learn when and how to be aggressive, which is not easy, you know, especially when you're trying to make things happen. So, you know, there's situations that we have to continue to teach on and talk through. And, you know, I think we're trying to get our guys to play a different style than we've ever played before. And with that, you're going to make mistakes along the way. And again, those mistakes get magnified when you're not playing well. And so, you know, at that point today, we weren't playing well, and it was super magnified when we made those mistakes. You look at the end of the game, you know, we did some really nice things on the bases, and, you know, we were able to get a big hit by pitch. We were able to draw a big time walk. And then even little things like our tag play at the end, you know, I mean, those are details that we've addressed from day one. And so, you know, it was good to see some of that stuff come up at the end, and a little bit of positive encouragement going into my Easter weekend.
I know you mentioned in our pregame chat before the Saturday contest that you had a long chat with Logan Hugo, trying to pick him up and get him going. He strikes the ball well today, including the single to tie it up. When he's going right, he's as good as anybody, and it's just getting his head to get in that space.
Yeah, he's, you know, this morning we talked about, he has great process. It's one of the best I've ever coached. I mean, his process, the way he goes about his business, it's what every coach would dream of. And the hard part is when you're not getting results, the ability to stick with that process and trust that it doesn't guarantee you success, but it helps you in big time moments. And you saw it twice this weekend. And so, you know, when it was his turn to come up to the plate, I just sort of put my hand on his back and said, hey, good process, good results. Trust it, Sev, and go get it. And, you know, obviously he did, and was proud of him, because you want guys like him to have success. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, no doubt in that situation that he's going to come up big.
Aiden Arbogast, the sacrifice fly to get the game winner across. Was the message simple? Just make contact and drive it somewhere?
Yeah, you know, just again, going back to the process piece of it, just see a pitch up, you know, and a lot of times we try to do too much, especially if they're playing infield in, like, you know, I think infield in sometimes is more mental for the hitter than anything. And he did a nice job of taking some pitches. You could see he was really working it. And then even when he got to two strikes, you know, he didn't expand. He waited for what he was going to get and attacked it and got his barrel behind it and did a nice job there. And he's another one, you know, he's been waiting. And you know, we had that conversation here at the end of the game with our team, like, eh, you don't like your role. That's OK. But you have two ways to approach it. One is be five stars in that role, dominate whatever it is that your role is for the day. And two, you make it so that we can't write you out of the lineup. And, you know, Aiden's a good example of working while he's waited. And when the time comes for him to be successful, he's able to put the pieces together. And again, you're really happy for somebody like that that works so hard.
Picking the pieces together, Aaron Perkle, 3 innings, 1 hit, struck out 3. It's the best I've seen him in an Eastern Michigan uniform.
Yep. He's, you know, struggled early this year, sometimes out, and did a really nice job today. And really, I think that's probably going to be one of the more overlooked parts of the game, because you see what happened late. But again, the ability to hold them there, much like we did on Thursday, was a big separator for us in the game. And it gave us a chance to get back in the game. And so, you know, Aaron's such a smart individual that sometimes I think he thinks too much about the situation instead of just competing. And it was really great to see him have some success today. And yeah, you know, I mean, I'm super upset with how we played for about 8 innings, but you can't overstate, you know, what we did in the 9th. And again, learning while you win is always better than learning while you lose. So we'll take it while we can get it.
Final 2 questions here with Robbie Britt. You look at it now, you go back out on the road 4 straight. You'll begin this week at Michigan on Tuesday, free admission over in Ann Arbor. Hopefully some folks can make it over and support your team. What are you looking forward to the most this weekend with that Big Ten matchup and then Kent State on the horizon?
Yeah, I think it'll be a good test for us on Tuesday. I mean, they're going to be obviously amped up to play us, especially with how things went over here at O-Strike a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I think that's going to be a good challenge both on Tuesday and then at Kent State. You know, Kent's one of those preeminent powerhouses in our league, you know, somebody that probably should have been in the tournament last year as an at-large bid. And, you know, they're going to be super well-organized and ready for us this weekend. So, you know, I think that the thing I keep trying to impress on our guys is just we're good enough. We're good enough for those moments. We just have to play good baseball. And that's what we've done a really nice job of over the past couple weeks, is just playing clean, giving ourselves a chance to do things like what we did on Thursday and today. And there should be no lack of motivation, though, going into Tuesday and this upcoming weekend.
A chance to get a Sunday at home, a rarity during the baseball season. More importantly, it's Easter, and I know you're going to have church and celebrate with the kids, but what Easter candy are you hoping the Easter Bunny leaves for them so maybe Dad can get a little snack of?
I'm not a huge candy guy, but Kit Kats are always one of the favorites, I guess. So, you know, I'm sure Courtney, my wife, she'll have a couple hidden around the house somewhere for us. And, yeah, we're... And we're going to have some of the players and our coaching staff over tomorrow, and, you know, special day for a lot of people. And I am super excited about having a Sunday with my family, and as I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too. So, yeah, happy Easter to everybody out there. And we really appreciate everybody that's the energy that people are bringing to O-Strike and to our program. Like, it doesn't go unnoticed. And that's why we do things like at the end of games when we win, celebrating with our fans. And just want to keep encouraging everybody to stay with us. We're going to get better. We're going to get this place where it needs to be. And, you know, really, really excited to be here.
Congrats, Robbie, on the win. First time Eastern has taken series from both Central and Western in the same season in over a decade. We'll catch you soon. Tuesday, coming up at the Wilpon Complex.
Thanks, Greg.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast. Your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.